Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope that you enjoyed the weekend worshiping our great God, His Son Jesus Christ, and doing so in the power of the Holy Spirit. And have you been worshiping Him more cognizant of His providence in your life? My prayer is that this excursion away from Genesis 3, yet related to Genesis 3, will encourage you to see all of your life in light of the providence which God has for you. This weekend I was reading Psalm chapter 138. This is a psalm of thanks to God written by King David. This was most likely written in response for what God was doing in David's life through the covenant which God made between them that we read about in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And it is a beautiful psalm, and verse 8 reads like this: "The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. You do not forsake the works of your hands." Psalm 138, verse 8. That phrase, "the Lord will accomplish what concerns me," that's a reference to providence. That is, in whatever is happening in life, whatever is going on, both the good things and the bad things, the difficulties, the challenges, all of this, the Lord will accomplish what concerns you. God has a plan. God has an end towards which He works, and He is bringing you and I along with Him. He will accomplish His will in our lives. Of this we can be confident and sure. And I do not know about you, but I find this comforting, and it motivates me to praise God and to thank Him. Our lives may appear to be out of control down here, but switch the perspective to up there in heaven, and it's a different story. God is in charge. He is working all things together perfectly. We say along with the psalmist David, "Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting." When we left off on Friday, we were talking about how the providence of God affects our will. And by will, we mean our volition. You are well familiar with your will. You are driven by it day and night. Your will is a highly prized part of you. By it, we are made to get what we want. Volition motivates choice. If it is my will to buy a big bag of Cadbury's mini eggs, then I will. You know them, right? That bright yellow bag with all those pretty colored eggs, the crispy, sweet, hard shell, and the rock-solid ball of chocolate inside. I like to get a hold of them around Easter and freeze them for year-round enjoyment. I could be on a diet, just having completed a run, doing some exercise, and if I come by the grocery store on the way home, my will speaks up and says, "Mini eggs, chocolate, go in there and buy a bag. You deserve it." And the next thing you know, I am in the checkout line with more than a few bags. Well, maybe you can relate to this, maybe not. Maybe you do not like Cadbury's chocolate mini eggs. What's wrong with you? Let me pray for you. But I am fairly certain you know what your will is, and you hear from it daily. And of course, you hear from it concerning more important matters than chocolate. On Friday, we began a discussion on how God uses His providence in our good actions and in our bad actions that emerge from our will. And I would like us to continue with that now. And I want you to know that I am being specific. I am speaking here specifically about the good actions of Christian people. And I will speak about the bad actions, the sinful actions of Christian people as we move through the week. Of course, we can speak about good actions and evil actions in people who are not yet Christians as well, but that is beyond our scope at this time. Still, if you do not consider yourself committed to Christ, come along with us. Stay tuned. I made this distinction for clarity, but there is much for you to learn, to take in, and as always, for you to seriously consider. Christians, as Jesus Christ presents himself to us and gifts us with faith, the faith that we then use to trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit moves into our lives and draws us in obedience to Christ. We are unable to do good works by our own sinful will, by our own power, and by our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the Christian life without depending wholly on the Holy Spirit. And it is the Spirit of God within Christian people that enables us to do good. I have three scriptures in mind. The first one is in the Old Testament, and the next two in the New Testament. Let's begin in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 27. I'm reading from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel at chapter 36 and verse 27. Listen to the promise of the Lord God. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. This is a promise for Israel. This here is not a promise for today's Gentile Christians. But we have the same promise in the New Testament, as we shall see. And notice what God providentially does. He puts his spirit within them, and God causes them to walk in God's commands. God does. The Spirit of God is driving their good actions. Once God's Spirit indwells them, once God's Spirit is turning their will, then they walk in his statutes and they are careful to do what God says to do. God causes them to obey God's laws. Without the Spirit of God, the Jews will not walk in his statutes and they will not be careful to observe his ordinances. We know this, and if we do not know this, then we need to do some reading in the Old Testament later today. And now, turn in your Bible all the way over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. In context, the Apostle Paul has a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan who is tormenting him. And three times Paul prays that it might leave him. Listen now for the response of God to Paul. I am reading now 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. Verses you may know well. And the Lord has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Let me pause here to say that God answers the apostle, no. The answer is no. This thorn in the flesh will not be taken away. However, the Lord's grace will continually supply Paul with the strength he needs to endure this. So, Paul reflects on this as he continues in verses 9 and 10. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says his weakness is a good thing. Because he is weak, then the power of Christ will be strong. Paul even says he is well content with his own weakness, for when he is weak, then he is actually, ironically, strong. This is what I was saying earlier. We are unable to do good works by our own sinful will, by our own power, and by our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. Paul still had his thorn in the flesh, but the power of Christ dwelling in him by the Holy Spirit, this enabled him to continue to do all of his many good actions, his good works, despite the thorn. The good coming out of the Apostle Paul was being produced by Christ in him. He had no real power. His power all came from Christ. And the same is true for us. Consider also Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25. I am reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. There it is again in Galatians. Christians exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control because God's Spirit is so working in our will so as to produce these in us. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Our flesh, with its sinful and evil passions, wills to do the opposite of what is kind, what is good, and what is self-controlled, right? That's what our sinful will desires we do, the opposite of these. But verse 25, when God bends and directs our will, then we live by God's Spirit. We walk by God's Spirit, and we produce spiritual fruit like that mentioned in verse 22. We have good actions, but these good actions are always driven by the supernatural grace our Heavenly Father gives to us. Tomorrow, I want to address how the providence of God relates to our bad actions, our sinful, evil actions. We will continue in the Bible when we meet again. In the meantime, I pray each one of us believers will do good today, but that we will remember this is the power of Christ in us that produces these good actions. Join me tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.